Hey, there's been a potential breakthrough in a story that we discussed on the Bryant Park Project a short while back. It's about that case of a Missouri teenager who committed suicide after a boy she met online rejected her. It turns out that boy, well, he didn't exist. It was a fake MySpace profile allegedly created by an adult neighbor. The girl's family tried to seek justice in the criminal system, but the Missouri laws just weren't helpful. After a year of investigation, both local and federal prosecutors declined to press charges against the woman who allegedly created the account. But yesterday, the LA Times reported that a federal grand jury in California is getting involved in the case. So what we're going to do with the story that somebody else got to first, we're going to rip it from the headlines. PJ Huffstutter is the Midwest bureau chief of the LA Times, and she's been following this story. Hi, how are you?
Good morning.
So let's talk about these subpoenas. They were issued yesterday in this case. What were the subpoenas issued for?
Actually, from what I understand, the subpoenas have been issued starting from last week. And from what it's the details of what the subpoenas are looking for, what exactly they're trying to go after is completely unclear, as it usually is in secretive grand jury cases.
So tell me, though, why these subpoenas would be coming out of California if this case is based in Missouri?
Well, that's the question that everybody, particularly out of the neighborhood in Dardan Prairie, is wanting to know. The question seems to be, why was it that the U.S. Attorney's Office in California felt that they may have had both jurisdiction as well as the ability to be able to pursue potential criminal charges in this case, when the U.S. Attorney's Office, who had spent quite a bit of time with both the FBI, local prosecutors looked into this, and everybody in Missouri the local prosecutors even went back a second time to investigate the case after all the media attention around Thanksgiving came out, and they simply just could not find anything. They said, in order to be able to pursue a criminal case, at one point the local prosecutor actually told the press as well as the family, you know, something along the lines, and this is not an exact quote, but something along the lines of, you know, poor behavior and, you know, morally questionable behavior may not necessarily be illegal behavior.
But fraud is illegal behavior, and this is where California comes in, because am I correct in saying that MySpace is somehow based out of California, Beverly Hills?
Yeah, MySpace was originally founded and headquartered in, from what I understand, in Santa Monica, and now, after being purchased by Fox Interactive, is now on the Fox Interactive studio facilities that are up in Beverly Hills.
So that's why California is able to get involved in this case somehow.
That is what our investigative reporter, Scott Glover, actually found out in California, that according to sources, that the U.S. Attorney's Office felt that they may have jurisdiction on the case because MySpace is there. It's in their backyard, and a fraud was perpetrated.
Now, am I right in saying that you've spoken to the family of the girl who committed suicide since
happened? I spoke this week with Tina and Ron Meyer, and they did not know about either the grand jury or about the subpoenas being issued. And when I spoke with them, to say that they were shocked would be an understatement. But they were, both of them at this point, at least from interviews, it appears that they are incredibly hopeful, and yet at the same time just weary, because this has been going on for so long. I mean, originally when this all happened, because it's still unclear who exactly made the profile. Lori Drew, who's the neighbor and whose own young daughter was friends with Megan Meyer, said in a police report that it was she, as well as a temporary employee, who created and used the profile in order to monitor the actions and befriend Megan in order to find out what was being said about her own daughter. But the actual details as to who made it, who monitored it, who actually, you know, wrote the horrible last lines that fateful night, it's completely unclear.
And I have to imagine, if we take this one story is difficult enough, but if you sort of take a step back and you look at what it might mean for the California authorities to get involved in terms of fraud, this could have a bigger impact on all kinds of social networking sites and internet communities.
Yeah, I mean, there's the old saying, I mean, from years ago, because I used to be a technology reporter, and I mean, when the evolution of the World Wide Web really came out and, you know, commercial-based email services were just coming out, there was the old, I believe it was the New Yorker had a cartoon talking about, you know, on the Internet, every, you know, you don't know who's a person, who's a dog. But it, one of the things that's been raised among, you know, legal experts and also within the online sort of communities and advocates is, you know, free speech online is something that is protected in to a certain degree and definitely protected by the First Amendment. And the concern from some folks is that if this case does go, and there's a lot of ifs,
right,
if this case goes forward, if in fact, you know, indictments are issued, and that's a big if in fact, you know, anybody's convicted in this case, what exactly this would set for a precedent with regards to anonymity online. Because people, like a lot of corporations, if they do bad things or if the government does bad things, the public has the right to be able to, you know, be able to create pseudonyms under whistleblower, from what I understand, under whistleblower laws. And I know that the EFF, which is a big, you know, legal advocacy organization out of Northern California, has raised some questions with regards to, you know, what exactly would that mean then for people to have the ability to anonymously tip off, you know, law enforcement about problems.
PJ Huffstetter is the Midwest Bureau Chief for the LA Times. Thanks for sharing your reporting with us. We'll just keep our eye on whether these fraud charges that California, these indictments, which may or may not be handed up, we'll keep you up to date on that.